name is Jane and I'm an addict.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm not that tall, baby. It's okay. You can bring it down. You know what I like the most about speaking on a night tradition? Is there isn't like 100 extra people in this room. Because, you know, you had to do some work, like Jonathan was saying. You had to do some work to get to the ninth step in the ninth tradition. So the other workshops are full. And I don't know about you, but I got an issue because as addicts, we'll take a 25-person room and put 75 people in it. And then I'm at the door. So I'm really grateful that the committee asked me to come and speak on the ninth tradition because I can actually sit and breathe in this room and be okay. My heart's not pounding because there's too many of us in here. So, you know, the ninth tradition is one of my favorites because it talks about service. And, you know, my sponsor taught me one of my first days here that service is how we pay the rent here. And if you ain't giving service, go ahead. There's other meetings going on because I'm going to talk about service. My very first service commitment was part of a renegade H&I meeting, but I didn't know it was a renegade H&I meeting. All I knew was that the dude I was living with had to go to the meeting on Wednesday night, or you didn't get a methadone dose Thursday morning. Everybody showed up. So, right? So I wasn't on methadone, because that's a different story, but, you know, we had a plan. The plan didn't work out, but I wasn't on methadone. And so I got a service commitment. They made me the coffee maker because they thought I might come back with the coffee pot. But what they didn't know, like many of us, is I had one of them little bags. You know that special little pocket they put right here in your jeans? I always went to that meeting with a special little thing right in that special little pocket. And thank God they never said, if you got some drugs, take them outside. Because I want to share my shit with y'all. Come on now. And I wasn't going to stand up and let you all look at me like I'm taking my stuff off. Come on now. That's not happening. So that was my very first service commitment. And I'll tell you what it did for me is something that I never knew about in my whole life, and that was it made me belong. You see, because even though you all was together, what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is everybody else is related, and I'm from out of town. So it was really nice to feel like people looked forward to me coming, or I wanted to look forward to coming. And when I didn't want to go to that meeting, because I was the only girl in the meeting, and I was absolutely convinced, as you look around, you can see that this is true, that there were no women in recovery. So I went there because I was the only chick in the room. So, you know, I was the best looking woman in the room, too, if you get that. And those people were really nice to me, you know. And I met some guys that taught me some lessons. And the things that they taught me, because I was part of their, like, little service structure, was I had one guy, and he wore khaki pants and boat shoes and little plaid shirts, and he told my story. And I didn't really understand how a guy in khaki pants and boat shoes and little plaid shirts could, like, have anything to do with the stuff I was doing. But here's the most important lesson he taught me. When he used, years later, what he taught me was, sometimes you can't get back. And when I was sitting in a diner one day and he came by, because he was bumming money outside the diner, and he saw my face, he walked away. And he taught me that shame and that guilt and the things that we carry along with us when we relapse, when we don't relapse, when we first come here, that stuff is real. And if I hadn't been in that position, I wouldn't have learned that lesson. So now I'm going to tell you about my second lesson in recovery. I had 6 whole months clean. I was doing some shit. You know what I mean? And one of the guys, one of my favorite old biker guys, asked me to join the H&I subcommittee. And I thought, I'm here. Because, you know, H&I is the best service in Narcotics Anonymous. If you haven't done it, you need to do it. And that's how the subcommittee carries it, right? And he asked me to join, right? I went to the meeting. I'm all puffed up, right? I'm thinking this is some. I didn't know they were going to ask me to count pamphlets. But I counted pamphlets for a year, right? But one of my first H and I subcommittee meetings, I'm like seeing all these people with 1,000 years clean, you know, and they're all talking about principles before personalities as they're like, you know, slicing each other with their words and, you know, and they're talking about, you know, all the people that we help, right? And they taught me things like, you know, H and I, the meetings that we take is like walking out into a parched field with a handful of seeds, and you throw the seeds up in the air and you walk away. If it grows, it grows. If it don't, somebody will be along again with another handful of seeds. Here's the most important thing they taught me. One subcommittee meeting. Now, I was in a relationship when I got here, right? We really weren't talking to each other all that much, but, you know, we was together. And they said, don't change anything in your first year, right? So they just said, just put up with each other for a while. I walked into the subcommittee, and nobody had talked to me real nice for a while. And this dude, he was handsome. And he walked up to me after the meeting, and he hugged me just a little too long. And he said, I don't know what he said, but whatever it was, I'm good for a line, okay? It was a really good line. And I was absolutely paralyzed. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I wanted to go. He was real handsome. But the other side of me said, you know, if you go, everything else goes. So I did, for maybe one of the first times, what my sponsor told me to do. I stood still and I didn't do a thing. And when I called her the next day and told her about it, she said, yeah, he's real handsome. That's all she said. She didn't say, you did the right thing, you didn't do the right thing. But here's what happened. I went back the next month and I watched this same dude lay the same line on some young girl. She rolled out together. I saw him again. I never saw her. They used to call them wolves, but I think we're better. We got a little more tech name for them now, but hold on. So what I believe is that my recovery has gone along with service. You know, eventually, when I had some time, I had to, like, cut loose the dude that I got clean with. God bless him. We still got the same clean date 25 years later, but he was not for me anymore. That's the nicest way I can put that. At the time, we kind of negotiated our recovery, and I said, you can have these meetings, and I'll take the city. I live outside of D.C., so all of a sudden, I'm the only white girl showing up at D.C. meetings. I'm now everybody's favorite white girl, but back then, you know, I would walk into meetings and people would be like, what do you want? What you doing here? Because nobody knew who I was. Nobody ever seen me, right? So I had to learn, with, I don't know, about 8 years clean, how to be a newcomer all over again and how not to be, I don't want to say scary, but how not to be aggressive and how not to be, I'm an aggressive person by nature. For women, they call that bitchy, but I call it aggressive. And I went down there like husband hunting or doing anything like that, right? So what I had to learn was how to serve with these people. So you see, what I learned in the city is if you work the kitchen, you win. I have done more picnics and eat meetings and a whole bunch of other stuff like that. Because what that did was allow those people to welcome me into their family. And they taught me the single greatest lesson I ever learned. They said, look here, girl, whatever you're doing, we've done it. If you've done it, we've done it worse. If you've done it 10 times, we've done it 100 times. And we will laugh at you and talk about you behind your back. And when you're ready to change, we will hold your hand and we will walk through it with you. And then the most important thing they said was, and we expect no less of you. So we talk about each other. You know, we ain't right. Come on, we're all seventh graders. You know. We talk about each other. We know more about each other, except your last name. I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do for a living, but if you can help me with my recovery, I'm going to step up to you and ask you for your experience, right? I serve with a lot of people. I'm serving down here this weekend. I love doing service because, one more time, it allows me to be a part of. Okay? I'm crazy enough, I signed up to chair this thing next year. So please come. Don't clap yet. Give me a chance to fuck up first. Then love me, okay? Because I don't know about you, but that's what I need the most, is when things ain't going right, that's when I really need you guys. Because if you serve, I guarantee you, we will mess it up. You know, if you walked around the convention center today, if you've been in the ladies' room, if you've been in a couple of places, we don't act right. So when you serve and somebody not acting right, you're in the way. And it's all good, because that's what we do. We learn from helping one another. And if I have any little thing that I can share with somebody, you know, I'm a breast cancer survivor, and it's been, I don't know, about 10 or 12 years now, but I apparently am the only white woman in Montgomery County who's had the shit. Because if you get the shit, they call me. I negotiated with God. I don't know what you guys do, but I negotiated with God. And I negotiated this deal with God. I will talk about that because I don't want to talk about it. I will share my experience about it because I don't want to share my experience about it. You, God, your part is you keep me healthy. And so far, he's done his part 100%. And I keep trying to do my part because I'm not trying to undo that deal. So, the fact that I can serve, I serve. I serve my home group. I serve my area. Hell, I sit on the board of directors. Always good service. I got a little book I've been walking around all weekend writing shit down. Because, you know, we tell on ourselves. You know, like I said, we know more about one another without knowing anything about each other. You know, and I know when I get to the point, you know, my dad's 87 years old. I know when that day comes, I know exactly where I'm coming. Because I know people who have been through that, and I took all that information, put it up on the shelf. Remember, they used to tell us that like 100 years ago. And I'm, because I know it's coming. The day's coming. And thank God he's healthy. Thank you, God. But he won't be forever. And when I need that help, that's where I'm going. And I met that person through service. So I believe, this is just me, that HP said, here's a path where you can be comfortable. Go be comfortable. And along that path, I'm going to put these people in your way. I told you, we get in the way. So when these people get in the way, you got to remember who they are, because you're going to need them again. And when I, you know, when I was sick, people showed up out of nowhere to help me out. They wouldn't take no money, nor would they take anything else. But you know what? Those are people I look for, because I know when they need help, I need to be there. And I helped other people to pass it forward. That's what we do in service. So if you ain't serving, I'm sorry to hear that. Because what you're missing is the blessing. You know? It's because I've been on my feet for 2 days. Well, okay, three. And I'm tired. Doesn't mean that I'm not getting all the blessings that come. And if you want the blessings, man, come on with us. We got plenty of room for service. You know, you go to your home group, it's missing a coffee maker, it's missing a secretary. You know, they can't buy people to go to area service. Or the region. So everybody can't do the same service. But when I hear that H&I is struggling, when special events can't put on an event that we put on for 20 years, when I hear the phone line, I heard last week, there is one woman on the phone line in all of Montgomery County. That made me want to cry. Think of all the women who are reaching out, and the only person they can talk to is a guy. Now, I don't know about you. I love talking to the guys when I first got here. But dang, it didn't do me any good. It wasn't until I could get with the women. So there's no women serving? Really? We're all we got. If we kill this thing off, we go with it. So, I'll close with this. There's a lot of women in this room that are part of my sponsorship family. And I am so glad that you are here. If you do not have a goddamn service commitment, come and see me after the meeting because I will hook you up. I now come with built-in service commitments. This is the rent we pay for Narcotics Anonymous. If we ain't paying it back, there won't be any Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank the committee for letting me come and share my experience, and thank you all. Have a wonderful day.